People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the blueprint. Put in my 2 cents. You in need of empowerment. We got the evidence. It's evident. All over these airways, we heaven sent. Taking over your residence. Tip got you through, got the immaculate. Dr. Z, and you know we got SSG bright. All the way in H-time, these Houston Rockets take flight. Put us on tonight, yeah. Get your mindset right. What you talking about? Everything gonna be alright. We talk about self-care, technology, self-love, spirituality, stacking bread, inner peace, innovation, tranquility. Slow it down, pass it round. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. Tune in. This is the blueprint. Put in my 2 cents. You in need of empowerment? We got the evidence. This is the blueprint. Put in my 2 cents. You in need of empowerment? We got the evidence. It's evident. The Empowerment Blueprint Podcast.
Welcome to another tantalizing episode of the Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. This is Dr. Z, and you know we got SSG Bright.
All right, right here.
And this is our last episode for season number 3, episode number 20. Our topic tonight is going to be end times in scripture. And we're going to take a look at prophecy, symbolism, and the current events as of 2024 going into 2025. But before we get started tonight, we're going to let SSG Bright take over and give us our wonderful prayer for tonight.
All right, y'all. All praises to the Most High. Dear Father God, all praises to the Most High, the God of our forefathers and foremothers. Our God that we sing to, can you see us through the firmament, Lord? Our provider, you see us sick. Our God that has the remedy. We give you stupendous thanks, Lord. Essential glory, unlimited praise, and a lion's roar of worship. We ask that, oh Lord, we beseech you, oh Lord, to have mercy on us because, Lord, you have the hierarchy. And just help us to pour out a message, the good news, to these young adults, men and women, to benefit your service, O Lord. And we do so by the way of the anointed one, our provider, the ransom, the son of David, on King David, the good shepherd who never, ever leaves his flock, no matter what. And we all say amen and amen.
Amen.
Hand clap.
All right. So tonight,
to the Father God, hand clap, you know, always a celebration.
Praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, every day, all day, morning, noon, and night.
Yes. 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 We're going to mess around and have church up here.
Yeah. All right now. Now, I'm going to just say that the topic of the end times has actually captivated believers for centuries. it's like drawing attention to biblical prophecies. And there's a lot of symbolic meanings, and it's just so many ways how they may connect and unfold to current events that we have going on currently in the world. In 2024, with the global shifts in politics, culture, and the environment, many are revisiting scripture for insight into these tumultuous times. It's crazy that, you know, right now we got all this UAP and UFO stuff going on with the drones and all that every single day right now. And it's like getting more insane and more tumultuous every single day. And it's crazy that the Bible covers all of that and some. So with the stuff that's going on right now, I know a lot of people may be afraid and scared and panicking about what's about to happen next, because no one knows, you know. It's crazy that the Bible covers everything. Everything. Now, I can tell you that Bible prophecies and their things and the scriptures actually contains numerous passages that describe the end times, and it's offering actual vivid imagery in the readings and prophecies about what's to come. And what do you know? Those aliens and UFOs are right on in the Bible too.
All right, that's what we're here to talk about. Let's talk about it.
Now, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. Now, I'm going to go into the first chapter. I'm going to talk about is Matthew 24. Now, I'm not going into the breakdown of that one because it's basically simple. Just check out Matthew 24, and it goes over Jesus and a discourse on the signs of the end, such as the wars, which we have going on right now, natural disasters, which we have going on right now, and the persecution of believers, which we have going on currently right now in our world. So that's how powerful the Bible is. It's still relevant. No doubt about it. Even in modern and current times. And I always say that too. The next one is Revelation. Now, Revelation actually talks about John's apocalyptic visions of the seals, the trumpets, and bowls representing divine judgment. Now, these verses depict vivid and intense imagery of the apocalyptic events that John witnessed. Now, I did deep research on this because Revelations is one of the most popular and well-known chapters in the Bible that describes those vivid images and details about the end times. Now, through my research, I found Revelations 6 chapter, 1 through 17. Then you can go to Revelations 8, 1 through 12, Revelations 9, 1 through 19, Revelations 11, 15 through 19, and Revelations 16, 1 through 21st verse. Now, remember we was having this conversation, I was like, well, I know they're saying that John had these visions of the seals, trumpets, and the bowls in Revelations, but what are the details of the chapters? So when I did more research, I found out, oh, that's the reason why they just said Revelation, because pretty much that's a lot of chapters and verses to cover, you know?
Right. I'm writing them down because I want to revisit those and cover them myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Revelation is the final book of the New Testament, and it presents a series of apocalyptic visions received by John, like I said. And it's central to the visions are the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. We talk about the trumpets all the time, but the seals and the bowls, that was new for me. Now, each symbolizing the sequence of divine judgments upon the world. And crazy that this all this stuff is going on right now in 2024. So this is amazing to be able to have the opportunity to do the research on this and actually have a podcast episode where we're talking about the current events in 2024 going into 2025 and how the Bible actually applies still. And that's important for people to know. SSG, you know that, because people are like, oh, it doesn't apply, and that Bible, oh, it's no good. I can't use it, you know. But wait a minute, hold up. Are you really reading it? Are you really researching? Because there's a lot in there, you know, and you can't unpack it in one episode.
That's right.
I always know that.
That's right. Maybe because the reason why they can't understand it because they don't think that the Bible is for them. Because if they did, you know, they'll read it and, you know, try to figure it out, or, you know, just come together and get a synopsis of what it's talking about. But they run away from it. So when they run away from it, that means it's not for you, you know. I mean, because you're getting further and further from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only for the people that are really going to use it and try to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's right. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, because he knew that some people are just going to hear it for the first time, and then after that, they're going to go party and they're going to forget about it.
Yeah.
So that's why Jesus spoke like that. If they didn't, you know, if they understand it, they're not going to do it. He knew that they're not going to do it. So he had to put a parable or, you know, parables and stuff.
Now I'm going to go into the seven seals. Have you heard of the seven seals? Did you?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Okay.
I just got to polish up on it, you know, to get more, stuff out of it. You know, I got to do my research also. That's why I'm here with. That's why I'm here on the Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. I'm trying to get empowered myself.
That's right. We got to empower each other. And
right.
Like I said, it was a blessing to be able to do this research because I really got more information than I expected, more than I know, that I've already known, you know. I mean, I actually learned something. So that's the important about doing your research, It makes sense because you need to do your research to find these things out.
Right. And we're just trying to spread it around. Amongst ourselves, to ourselves, and to the listening audience also. And the children, for sure.
Yep.
We're trying to give them this good news.
It's good news, all right. Especially when it applies to what's going on in your life currently.
Right.
So, the seven seals, it's each seal opens a new part of the prophecy. Now, leading to catastrophic events. These include the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which I know you've heard about, representing the conquest, the war, the famine, and the death, and culminate in cosmic disturbances and the revealing of the martyrs. Now, those cosmic disturbances is what's going on right now with why everyone's looking at the sky. And that's why it's scaring people. It's freaking them out because every single night, it gets worse. There's more and more, what they're calling, which we know is UAPs, but they're calling them drones. They're popping up every single night, and it's not stopping, and it's accelerating. So that's what they spoke about in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets, they're following the opening of the seventh seal. And then there's seven angels that sound the trumpets that bring further judgments. These events include hell and fire, a burning mountain, a star called Wormwood, darkening of the sky, and locusts, tormenting humanity. And the sixth trumpet unleashes four angels who kill a third of mankind. Woof. That's something.
You know, we might be in the beginning of the sixth trumpet.
I'm getting there. Now, the seven bowls. The final set of judgments involve angels pouring out bowls of God's wrath upon the earth. These result in painful sores. The sea turning to blood. Rivers and springs becoming blood. This has been going on for years, actually. Oceans, rivers, seas, lakes turning red, which they've been calling it blooms. Scorching heat, we've been having that. Darkness and great suffering, culminating in the destruction of Babylon and the final battle against evil forces. Now, these visions in Revelation are rich with symbolic meaning. and have been interpreted in various ways throughout history. And it reflects the themes of divine justice, redemption, and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. Now, this vivid imagery has inspired countless discussions and interpretations about the end times and God's plan for humanity. Woo, that's exciting.
I'm glad I'm in the light.
Yep, Jesus.
I'm not blinded by the light.
Jesus. Now, I can do a brief breakdown, like in Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 2nd verse. I'm not going to continue to break down, but this is just Revelations. It speaks about the first seal, the white horse. Revelation 6 also speaks about the second seal, the red horse, which is war. The white horse, I'm going to go back, which is conquest. Also speaks about the third seal, which is the black horse, which is famine. The fourth seal, which is the pale horse, which is death. The fifth seal, which is the cry of the martyrs. Also the sixth seal, which is the cosmic disturbances. That's what's going on right now. And the seventh seal, which is the silence in heaven, and the seventh trumpets. So that's where we're going next. And then when you get into the seven trumpets, you're getting into Revelations 8, and it talks about the first trumpet, which is the hail and the fire mixed with blood. And then the second trumpet is the burning of the mountain, which is the sea turned to blood. And then the third trumpet, which is the star, wormwood, waters turned bitter. And then the fourth trumpet, which is the heaven struck, darkening of the sun, the moon, and the stars. So, hey, that's the fourth one. So that's the sign, is the darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars. Okay. Then you got the fifth trumpet, which is the first woe, locusts from the abyss. And then you got the sixth trumpet. You're getting into, well, the fifth and the sixth, you're getting into Revelations 9. That's the second woe, the release of the four angels and their army. And then also the seventh trumpet is getting into Revelations 11. That's the third woe, the kingdom proclaimed. Now I'm going to go back to the fourth trumpet right quick, which is the heaven struck, the darkening of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that's kind of, that can be like, depending on how you interpret it, it can be like, you know, like the solar eclipse and stuff like that, you know?
So, sure.
And we have that all the time. And it's as time has gone by, we have more and more solar eclipse every single year. It's like we have so many per year. It used to be a rare occurrence, but not anymore, you know? And then the seven bowls, is you're getting into Revelation 16, actually. The first bowl is the painful sores. Then the second bowl is the sea turned to blood. The third bowl is the rivers and the springs turned to blood. And then the fourth bowl is the scorching heat from the sun. And then you got the fifth bowl, which is the darkness and pain. The sixth bowl, which is the Euphrates dried up in the battle of Armageddon. So the Euphrates is in there, you know. That lets you know that's this Bible time. But there can be other lands and bodies of water that can dry up, which could be another interpretation of the Euphrates, drying up.
End time prophecy. End time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you also have the seventh bowl, which is the end, the destruction of Babylon. So that's the seventh bowl. The final thing is the destruction of Babylon. And then also I have Daniel 7 through 12. Basically, that's prophecies of kingdoms rising and falling, culminating in the reign of God's kingdom. And then also have 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 1st through 5th verse. And it's a warning of the society of decline, marked by selfishness, greed, and moral decay. So that's in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 1st through 5th verse. And, you know, that's what's going on now, too. The societal decline, selfishness, greed, moral decay. That's what's going on currently right now, 2020.
More of in the dark. Nothing but in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
No light.
Yep, and that's my first part of my research there. Yep.
Yeah, I like that the solar eclipse. We probably have to have a class on that.
Yeah.
Give a episode of that, the solar eclipse. And also, you know that, you know, a lot of people don't read the revelations in the Bible because it's so scary.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't understand about the horse, the seven, the horses and stuff, the pale horse and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't understand the destruction because, you know, they don't want to read that part. So mm-hmm. if you don't read it, you won't get familiarized with it. You know, and, you know, everybody like to hold hands and think about unicorns and you know, and everything sweet and nice and apple pie, you know.
Yeah. And that's another behold the pale horse. That's the pale horse, the fourth seal, death. We've read that book, Behold the Pale Horse. That's a good book that people should read. I love that book. Mm-hmm. I remember I got that the book recommendation from actually Pimp C from UGK. That's where I got that from. So
I got it from you.
Uh-huh. Now I got it from Pimp C.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was one of his books that he read when
people are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
He was incarcerated.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and talk about it, huh? So I'm going to talk about, I'm going to piggyback off of what you was talking about, you know.
Prophecy.
Okay. I'm going to just give you an expeditious rundown about prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Just the definitions, maybe. Prophecy has multiple meanings, including a prediction of the future, a message from a supernatural entity, or person ability to predict the future. This comes from Britannica prophecy. That's predict. That's the meaning of that. Also, predicting, as we talk about, some synonyms of prophecy is signs, forecasting, prognosis, fortune telling, future events. You know, prophesizing is the passages of the Bible. We talk about biblical prophecy. It's the passages of the Bible that are claimed to reflect communications from God to humans through prophets. So a prophet is a person regarded as an inspired teacher or a proclaimer of the will of God. Like, for instance, the prophet Jeremiah, the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and what you was talking about, the book of Daniel. And also the other 12 minor prophets, the other 12 minor prophets. So prophecy in the Bible, that was Britannica explanation of it, and Webster explanation of another additional resource instead of the Bible. Now I'm going to read you about tell you about the prophecy of the Bible prophecy, the meaning in the Bible.
Okay.
So in the Bible, the wicked is ruling the earth. So let me show you that, and let me break that down to you. So let me get that in the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 24. It says, the earth is given into the hands of the wicked. One more time. Verse 24, the earth is given. I'm going to stop right there. The earth is given. What was given? Okay, it's given. We need to duly note that the earth was given. It wasn't taken. It was given. So let me read on. The earth is given into the hands of the wicked. So what was given? The earth, right, Doc? the earth was given into the control
the
of
earth.
The wicked. The earth was given into the control of the wicked. That's what it's saying.
The earth was given
into the hand. It said 24, the earth is given.
The earth was given. It was handed. It was handed over.
Right. It says in Job chapter 9, verse 24, it says the earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that means the earth was given. The earth was given into the control of the wicked. So let me finish reading. It says, this is still the chapter 24 verse. He covered the faces of the judges thereof. Who is the he we talking about, Doc? The Most High, right?
God.
The Most High. God. We talking about him.
Capital G-O-D.
Capital G-O-D. So the Most High covered up the judges, but he used the wicked to do it. So now, this is true also because the wicked is known to have covered up the faces of the judges because, well, one reason is that we can expound on would be Jesus of Nazareth, okay? Our Jesus, our boy, the ransom, the anointed one, he never sat down.
The Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace. The Lamb of God.
The Trinity. The Lion of Judah.
Lion of Judah. Jesus, he never sat down. He never sat down to have a portrait of himself painted or a photo op taken. You know, that didn't exist back then, photo ops. So that's what the painting from Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and Raphael are showing you, because they painted pictures and stories and about the times of Jesus. They painted these pictures because that is what happened. That's what has happened throughout history, you know, and it's just undeniable because the symbolism, okay, we get into symbolism, that iconography, the visual images in the works of art, this is evidence, and it's evident, and it's evident that the visual interpretations that we have been seeing, right? We have been seeing a lot of interpretation, you know, they have pictures of the angels, you know, with mm-hmm. wings that we see all the time. Every time we go to church, we see the paintings and stuff on the wall.
Well,
Michelangelo.
They have those, you know, just like I got in my book, you know, with the angels. They look like a baby with wings. That's what
right.
the interpretation of what the angels, but angels really don't look like that.
Right. So that's what they say. They cover up the faces of the judges. You see? Because you said angels don't look like that. So that's what that means. They cover
it's
up the
just, they just created the baby with the wings, angels, to look sweet and kind and nice so they won't intimidate people. But real angels are like giants.
Right.
If people was to see what a real angel looked like, they would be afraid.
Right. So that's what it says, that it cover up the face of the judges thereof. Okay? And it says, who covered up the faces of the judges? The Most High. So they say God did that. It says right here. It says he covered up the faces of the judges thereof. And who is he? God. The Most High covered up the face of the judges, but he used the wicked to do it. You see?
That's why I say God, he's in control of it all. He created the good. He created the bad. He created the light. He created the dark. He created everything.
Right. Yo.
That's why he's the creator of the beginning and the end.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, that's amazing. That's just amazing.
Yeah, it's so, something that, you know, people don't know about God like that.
I know, but they say they do. And they out of their lips, they say they know about God.
Like I said, when they think they know about God, like you said, they created this Michelangelo and they created this picture of Mona Lisa and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Michelangelo, he created that picture, right? He painted that, right?
Yeah, Michelangelo, Leonardo.
Leonardo da Vinci, yeah.
Yeah,
movie, they created
that's
these images
yeah.
for people, you know, to appease them, really, because excuse me, these nice, cute pictures and wonderful, beautiful art pictures, paintings that they created are beautiful. They nice, they cute, they beautiful, that they're pleasant, you know, they're nice to look at. But in reality, things that God created is not all beautiful. It's not all pretty. It's not all cute.
Right.
No, it's not all dainty. You know, it can be scary.
Right. So that's the evidence. And it's evident that this heaven sent in the those are visual interpretation that we're talking about. And that's the ones we have been seeing. Yes. So the Most High gave the wicked to rule the earth today, in which it's irrefutable, because that's what the Bible is saying that's happened in the Bible. That's what the Bible is saying. Show is. So I'm going to read on. We're still on Job 9, verse 24. In the book, and it says, if not, where and who is he? So that's the Most High. The Most High is saying, if not, where and who did it? That's what he's saying. That's what he meant by that. So the Most High is saying that he did it, right? The Most High did it. So the Most High did it. So if the wicked is not the devil, right? Where and who is the devil? That's what the Most High is saying. The Most High is saying he did it. So if the wicked is not the devil, this is what the Most High is saying. Where and who is the devil? The Most High is saying, you tell me, since you know more than I do. That's what the Most High is saying.
And that's the thing is, you know, they even got this picture and this image of what the devil looked like. Just like they got these pictures and images of what aliens or creatures from another planet or not from this galaxy, you know, look like. They got these images, but do they really look like that?
No, they don't.
because you know, everything that God created, everything that God created is spiritual.
Well, and God said he said he covered up the faces of the judges and used him to do it. So God
like
said,
I said
covered it up.
Everything so that God created is spiritual. So you know, like when it comes to, which a lot of people don't like to talk about the demons and stuff in the church, but those demons, they coming through human bodies and vessels and possessing them to do work, to do.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
And the thing exactly right. with the archangels, you know, like Archangel Michael, Raphael, now they coming down through and spiritual through the human vessel and the body right. and right. using human vessels and bodies to do their work and their job.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Exactly right. The Most High is the one that gives the kingdom to who he will.
Same thing with Jesus. He sent them down in the spirit, right? Into a human vessel, right?
But Jesus is light, though, so he ain't he ain't the judge. But he had to cover his face.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he sent Jesus down through in the spirit, too, and put him in a human vessel also.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's a spiritual
right.
warfare.
Right.
It's so spiritual. People don't realize that, yeah, this is a three-dimensional world.
Right. So the Most High
Go ahead.
So the Most High is the one that gives the kingdom to who he will. That is what this is properly saying, what I just read.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let me show you this. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 17.
Okay.
We went over this through the last episode, part of it. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and a demand by the word of the holy ones. Now, the watchers is the prophets, and the holy ones, as we discussed in the last episode, is the angels. A decree is a divine proclamation or authoritative decision, a command from God, while a demand signifies the power of God to establish or change the course of human kingdoms. So that's a prophecy, and it's changing the human kingdoms as we have today. You know, we have a new president. That's what we discussed in the last episode. So God's in charge. He can give the kingdom to whoever he will to give it to.
Yeah. And I just heard, I think it was yesterday, they was talking about online that Prince William, I think, is supposed to be taking over. Mm-hmm. Is that his name, Prince William?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be taking over the kingdom over there next in England.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, God's in charge, and he can give it to whoever he wants. Now, do those people believe in the Bible like that? Mm. Probably not. You know what I'm saying?
You know? I think that the Bible, well, you know, there's all types of versions of the Bible that are spread throughout the world. And actually, I heard yesterday they found another book of the Bible from the first Bible that was left out, the ancient Bible. So I'm trying to think of the name of that new Bible chapter. Did you hear about that being found?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about it, not a lot about it. I have to check it out.
Yeah. But every day they're finding new books of the Bible.
Right. So that goes to show you that the Bible is important, but a lot of people don't really go by the Bible. You know, they go by, you know, the Quran or the Al-Hadith or, you know, mm-hmm. or the Muslim stuff and Buddha and stuff like that. A lot of people don't go by the Bible. You know, you have different, you have Christianity, you have Baptist, you have what's the other ones? Asian religions, Buddha and all that, you know. So as a blanket statement, really a lot of people don't rock with the Bible, but they know about it though.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So let's bring out and talk about some symbolism. Symbolisms. Okay, let me see if I can land my plane here without talking too much. Some synonyms of symbolism are symbolic representations, like we were talking about, imagery or images, hieroglyphics,
mm-hmm.
iconography, meaning images used by an artist or artists to convey a particular meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, just being real, you know, and transparent, because some people don't like to do that, but we go through problems, and problems. We live in a society, a country, and our lives seem to be a living hell in many situations. We run into all kinds of racist situations, unfair treatment, discrimination. People don't like the way we look. They subject to you know, we subject to all kinds of evils, and not to mention adding to it an inferior complex. You know, we subject to that, you know, and we ask ourselves, you know, I'm sure I have, and I'm sure a lot of us have asked ourselves, does the Lord really love us? And that's the reason why the scripture was questioned. You have questions about the scripture. And this one prophet, the prophet Malachi, had questions about the scripture. So in the book of Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, I'll read, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord is to Israel," by Malachi. So let's illuminate burden. Okay. Have you ever heard of, Doc, do you know about burdens? Burdens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that gospel song, how burden, study war no more?
I'ma lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Yeah.
Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burden.
Yeah.
Down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war no more. You remember that line?
Yeah,
that was a good song.
That's a hymnal that we sung in the church.
Right. I'm going to lay down my burden down by the riverside.
I'm surprised we didn't bring that up in the hymnal episode.
I don't know how I remember that. It just came out of my psyche from church a long time ago. You know, it just came up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember when I used to hear it before a long time ago, it used to come on commercials. But we don't have those commercials no more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, so,
I do have something to say, like a couple, about the symbolism that they use, because the Bible often uses symbolic language to describe end times events, making an interpretation of complex but a rich in endeavors, just like you said, with the lay down my burdens, you know, as there's that symbolic meaning to that, you know.
Like
in Revelation 13, the beast, which is often seen as representation of the oppressed political system or the leaders hostile to God. You know, then you have the four horsemen, which from Revelation 6, which I spoke about earlier, symbolizing the conquest, the war, the famine, the death, and pointing to the global instability.
Right.
And then you have Babylon, which from Revelation 17, 18, you're just speaking about that, a symbol of the worldly corruption and idolatry.
Right.
And the New Jerusalem, which is Revelation 21, that's the ultimate hope. A restored creation where God dwells among his people. You know, that's after all the destruction. And those symbols invite believers to look beyond the literal interpretation and consider their spiritual and practical implications. So, you know, that has to do with, you know, the current events and through a prophetic lens.
Right. So that burden that we read in Malachi 1:1, a lot, you know, what's a burden?
It's something that you don't want. It's hard on you.
Right, exactly. It's a
lot. Nobody want to have burdens.
Right. It's a lot. It's a load. It's a heavy load.
Heavy load. Remember that song, Heavy Load?
Yeah, it's a heavy load. So here's a question to ask yourself. Why is the righteous word of the Lord a burden? And why it's so hard to live up to? Why is it a burden? So let's go to Malachi. Malachi, he questioned this. He said, God said, I have loved, this is verse 2, I have loved you, said the Lord, yet you say, talking about Malachi, wherein hast thou, you God, have loved us? That's what we're asking. With all of the problems, how is it that the Lord have loved us? You know, so we ask ourselves, what kind of love is this? That's how some of us is thinking, you know? We have learned a lot, you know? We learned that we are a peculiar stigma. We learned a peculiar stigma about our skin color, that we felt ashamed, myself. And God made us this way. And we questioned it. We thought that we were some people under a divine curse or something. You know, why did God make us this way? The color of our skin, you know, our skin texture, our hair texture, the shape of our nose and lips. You know, about the kids, our young girls, right, they grow up, they hate themselves. They hate the way that their hair is. They want to straighten it, blonde it, dye it, red it, blue it, anything except the natural that God loved on us when he gave that to us. You know, we don't understand this, because why is this so problematic? Why we don't understand it like that? Probably because, why do you think we don't understand that, Doc?
Because, you know, those pictures and those paintings that were put out there and made mainstream, Those people didn't have skin color that was brown or dark, you know? They had a lighter skin tone.
Right.
That was a sign of beauty to the majority of people, depending on what country you're in. Now, if you're on the continent of Africa, then okay, darker skin tones and brown skin would be beautiful. But depending on what continent or country you're in, that might not be the case in that society. That might not be with the people that are teaching you when you're being raised up in their educational system, in their society. They might like a lighter skin tone, like a whiter or lighter or caramel color, you know? They might like that more than your skin color. So that's what they're going to promote, the lighter skin tone, not the darker skin tone.
Right.
So that's how that happens.
Right.
They're going to promote with the lighter skin tones, the straighter tone textured hair, not the curlier, thicker coil textured hair. So it depends on what society, what country, what continent you're in, you know?
Right.
And if you're not in a continent where what your skin color and your hair texture is, it's the number one most popular or what they promote on the television and the radio and in the books and in the pictures on these paintings on the walls, then hey, you're going to be like, well, why don't I look beautiful like that? You know?
Right. A major point.
What's wrong with me?
But God gave us this like this. You know, he gave us this, you know? And now we know that, hey, you know, so-called black is beautiful.
It always was beautiful. It never wasn't not beautiful.
But we didn't know that because we wouldn't blonde, we wouldn't red, we wouldn't dye, you know, we wouldn't try to straighten. You see what I'm saying? But now we know.
So now we're empowered of the beauty of our natural state.
Right.
Our God-given and God-blessed texture of hair, our God-blessed skin tones, our God-blessed body features. Yeah, we might be a little bit thicker and we have bigger this and bigger that, bigger lips, bigger nose, bigger bottom, bigger breasts, you know, whatever, but
if God,
that's the way God made us.
If God be for you, who can be against you?
Exactly.
So we don't understand because the Most High set the symbolism up. He set it up. The Most High did that.
Yes,
why? Because God sets up the basis of people, like we was talking about before, to rule the earth. As we will continue to read in Daniel 4:17, he sets up the basis of people. And he give it to whomsoever he will. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, to paint these pictures. God set it up like that. Now the symbolism that we have to the symbolism that we had to sojourn through, that's for a reason. See, God knows, you know, his brain is bigger than ours, our brain is real small. You can't get to the kingdom without going through some struggles. You know, Dr. Z?
Yeah.
So, you know, so the Most High wanted us to learn how it would be when the commandments, his oracles, statutes are not kept.
Yeah.
That goes all the way back. That goes all the way back to Adam. Adam was given the divine laws of God. And Adam's job, oh yeah, Adam had a job. Men have jobs to fulfill. If you didn't know that, you're going to learn today. And Adam's job was to teach his family, to teach everybody, to teach the whole planet Earth. He was supposed to do that, but he allowed Satan to get through to his woman and causes him to deviate from the God's plan. And because of that, we had to go into the negative side of life and learn all of the evils and go through all of the wickedness. And we've seen what happened when God's not in charge. Now you got men chopping off things and you got women putting on things. The way to think and not to think. And they are making that normal. What do you think about that? You know?
I think that, you know, that's just what's going on currently in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. And God's in charge of all that, you know. He gives it to whoever he will. And it's to teach us a lesson, you know.
And that's why you have to be cautious. You have to have caution when it's essential when you're linking your current events to prophecy. Because 2024 currently, going into 2025, there's been so many scenarios that echo the end time themes that have been spread throughout history that are all over the books of the Bible.
Yeah. And you know, we're still on symbolism, so the Bible uses, like you were saying, those symbols, objects, actions, figures of speech, convey spiritual messages. Symbolism adds depth to a message. Even Jesus often used symbols because his own disciples did not understand the concepts he was teaching them.
Signs, symbols,
signs, objects,
numerology.
Numerology, you were speaking on that, yeah. The lamp represents the word of God. The lamp, God, you know, the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
The lamb. Sword. What about the sword? Represents the word of God. You know, cut you up. Two-edged sword. Other objects with symbolic meanings include the crown on King David, the ruler, the glorious ruler, the ring represents authority, actions. Jesus used symbolic actions such as presenting himself as the shepherd, the sower, the bridegroom, and the door. Figure of speech. The Bible uses many figures such as parables, precepts, moral principles. Number 12, 144, all kind of symbols.
Yeah, that's numerology.
Right, like you
signs,
said.
Symbols, and you said the lamp is the light, right?
The light, yeah. They often say that lamp, you know.
But you remember that the Giddings Bible, it had that lamp as a symbol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yep, the Bible. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think it was like an oil lamp or something, wasn't it? On that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that.
The lamp of God. Yep. Numbers, number 7.
And then the fish, you know, that stands for Jesus.
Yep. Animals.
You see that on people's cars and stuff, those fish.
Yeah. I ain't know what that means for a long time, but I do now. Well, hey, and animals, the lion, the eagles, the sheep, that's God's favorite animal, the sheep.
Lamb,
yeah, that's God's favorite animal there, man. Other symbols, the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how about current events? Got some on current events? You did do current events, didn't you?
Well, I'm going to actually go through some current events.
Okay.
So, like I was saying, you got to have caution when linking the current events with prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go over a few right here. First one I'm going to go over is the global conflict and political tension. And I know you know this well. We've been talking about this for like the past three episodes. It's like, that's, you know, right. This is what's going on. It's been going on since the beginning of the year. I mean, this was an election year, so
yeah.
It's God been political tensions, you know,
God did
and
all
global conflicts all year.
Yeah.
And the ongoing instability in regions like the Eastern Europe and the Middle East has raised questions about the fulfillment of prophecies concerning wars and rumors of wars. In Matthew 24, chapter 6, verse, it talks about that. And it goes over the rise of authoritarian governments and the polarization among nations, which has drawn parallels to the imagery of beasts in Daniel and the Revelation. So that's what's going on currently in our world in 2024.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about that all year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's out front topic that's out there right now.
Yeah. And another one that we've talked about is environmental turmoil. You know, that's one thing that we're all about our environment, going green, trying to save our planet and take care of it because it's been mismanaged, mishandled, destroyed for so many centuries. You know, it's like we should have been taking care of our planet all along. And there's record breaking natural disasters. We see them every day: floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, earthquakes, hurricanes. And it's just fuel discussions about earthquakes in various places. We just seen a big earthquake a few days ago on California coast, 7.0. Then there was we had a tsunami alert, you know. So it's just
been so much. And that actually is in the Bible too. Matthew 24, chapter 7, verse. It goes over that. And the groaning of creation awaiting redemption. And then that's Romans 8, chapter 22nd verse. So much has went on in 2024. Mm-hmm. And also technological advancements with the rapid evolution of the artificial intelligence that we have going on right now. Now we got robots. Oh my God. Automated vehicles and stuff like that. Oh my God. It's just so much. But we also have the surveillance technology, which has been viewed by some as precursor to the system of control, remnants of the Mark of the Beast. And, you know, right now we have that going on with all the UAPs and the drones. People are crying and they're upset every single day, and they're wanting to know what's going on with all these drones flying over their houses and watching us and recording us. Is people are just upset about it right now.
And why is that?
Because they don't want to be monitored. They don't want drones flying over their house and looking over their backyard. But it's okay to have cameras in your cars. We already got that. Cameras on your cell phone. We already got that. Cameras in your houses on the outside. We already got that. Everywhere you go, it's a camera.
So why we want to destroy the earth and have these natural disasters? Why we want to do that?
Well, the thing is it's not that we want to do it. It's just not taking care of the planet and littering and polluting the air and dumping in our oceans and our lakes and rivers. That's what destroyed it.
Well, you know, they're digging too. They're messing with the plates. Well,
okay, fracking, you know. Yeah, that's so what happened.
So why can we don't want to save our planet instead of...
That's what I'm saying. We should have been doing it all along. But nobody was doing what they were supposed to be doing. They was being selfish, just like it said in the Bible. Selfish.
So they tried to they covered up the judge's face. You know, I mean, you wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
So, but they did it.
Right.
And it's been going on. It was going on before you was born. It was going on before I was born.
So what's going to happen in the end? Will that keep going on? You know what I'm saying? Will that come to a head, or we'll just grow more resources? Or are we going to deplete all our resources?
I'm just going to say what I was going to say is, you know, these technological advances and the things that we're doing to impact our environment, while, you know, it's not a direct fulfillment in, you know, what we need to do for our planet and our environment, but those developments, highlight ethical and spiritual dilemmas, because at the end of the day, we're destroying our planet. We need our planet to live here, continue to exist as human beings.
So that's what you were talking about. Then that's revelation.
Spiritual dilemma. Exactly. Spiritual dilemma is, you know what? That's spiritual warfare.
Destruction. Like
our environment is being destroyed.
So that's what I was saying. That's what I was asking. We should save it instead of trying to destroy it. Yeah. And that's the prophecy right there. So I don't know whether to start crying or give a hand clap. You know,
like I said,
cry, make you laugh. Make you cry.
Like I said in the beginning, you have to practice caution when you're linking these current events with the prophecy, especially what's going on in 2024 right now, presently.
Well, the prophecy says it's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. So you have to be cautious.
Cautious. You got to be aware.
That's right. You got to be aware, but you have to have cautiousness when you're speaking about it, because it could trigger someone. And we don't want to trigger anyone.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I'm going to go to my next conversation, is about the positive aspect, because all of this end time talk can be overwhelming.
Oh, okay.
And it could cause someone to get upset.
I see what you're saying.
And we want to bring out the positive aspect. We want to motivate someone and we want to empower them. That's why we're here. So we have to bring that aspect of all of this end time stuff out to the forefront.
I stand corrected.
Okay, and my last one is going to be societal changes, which is the increasing moral and ethical decline in society. Here we go. That's connected to what we were just speaking about, the environment, as described in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 1st through 5th verse. It resonates with today's cultural shifts. And it's from the erosion of the traditional values to the widespread deception and selfishness I was speaking about already. Many see these as signs of the end times. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to say, like you said, how should believers respond to this? Us believers, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. How should we respond to these negative things, you know?
I know how to respond to, but I'm not going to say nothing about that.
Well, that's what I'm going to get into, because it's important. Rather than fostering the fear, the study of the end times prophecy is meant to inspire hope and action. So, just like you were saying, start taking care of your environment.
I know how I'm
recycling. Stop, you know, use a type of vehicle that's good for the environment. You know, stop littering. Pick up the trash and throw it in the trash can. You know.
You know how I'm gonna respond to it?
What?
I'm gonna do what the oracles, commandments, statutes, and precepts say.
What it say?
It's the Bible. I'm gonna see what the Bible says. You know, I'm gonna follow the Bible, so I'll be you know, trying to be made perfect by the Bible.
Okay. That's the answer to my first one.
That's what I'm gonna do.
That's the answer to my first one, actually. What you should do. Believers should stay spiritually vigilant. You know, Jesus emphasized the importance of being watchful and prepared in Matthew chapter 24, 42nd to 44th verse. And this means nurturing a deep daily relationship with God and remaining steadfast in faith. That's exactly what you just said.
Right. Yep.
And another way is you can engage in compassionate actions. Basically, believers are called to be the salt and the light in the world. That's Matthew 5th chapter, 13th through 16th verse. Serving others and sharing the message of salvation. Just like that young lady said on the other episode, hey, go help out a neighbor. Go volunteer in your community. You know, give back. You know, help out someone. If you see some homeless people, you know, just like you're doing, go give them some pizza and some sodas and some drinks, you know. Instead of being selfish, give. Help out. Engage in compassionate action to make the world a better place and make your environment and your communities a better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another way is to discern the times wisely. You got to be mindful during these times, because we know. I mean, we have conversations with people all the time. They're like, oh, it's the last days. It's the end times. You know, it's almost over with. You got to discern the times wisely. Avoid sensationalism and focus on the eternal truths of Scripture. Just like SSG said, as Jesus said, see to it that you are not alarmed. And that's Matthew chapter 24, 6 verse. You heard what Jesus said?
Yep, hallelujah.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Yep, another thing you can do is hold to the hope of restoration. Look forward to restoration in your world. The ultimate message of the end times prophecy is not to be doom and doom, but renewal. You know, God promises a new heaven and an earth where justice and peace will prevail. And that's in Revelation 21st chapter, 1st or 4th verse. So instead of just thinking about the doom and gloom and, oh, the world coming to an end, it's the last days, oh, this and that, negativity, you know, think positive and say, hey, well, you know, God promised us something new. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be a new. After all, everything goes on the past and come to pass in prophecy. So.
That's what we want.
That's right. So you have to think positive as a believer and look forward to the new and the change. And
Yep. in current events. Let me continue where I left off real quick. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 17. The matter is by the decree of the watchers and demand by the word of the holy ones. To finish up, it says, this still on chapter 17, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. So what we all may understand is that God ruleth in the kingdom of men. He's ruling, and the things that you see happening in Europe, in America, in the kingdom of men, God is the one behind all of that.
Yep.
He's the one that is ruling in the kingdom of men. And also it says, let me read on, and he giveth the kingdom to whomsoever he will. So that means he is going to give the kingdom of men to whomsoever he will. He would have gave it to Kamala, you know. Whoever he wills, he wants to give it to be president. He's going to make that person president. And like we said back in Malachi 1:1, the burden of the word of the Lord is to Israel by Malachi. And the word went out to Israel. You see, everything in current events is evolving and involving around Israel. Fighting, chaos, calamity. I wonder why. Maybe because our God is the God of Israel first, then to the Gentiles. So are you a Gentile? Are you sure? Who are you? You need to unpack the layers of all those issues to find out who you are to get to where you're trying to be to. You got to know where you came from to get to where you're going to. So, I just want to touch on that for a little bit and let you know that God's in charge, and he gives the rulership to men or women. Whoever he will it to give it to, he gives it to. He's in charge. And if you don't want it, then he'll pick somebody to take over. To let you know, to give you your hard knocks, so you'll know about the evil. God wants you to know about the evil. He wants you to know about the iniquity, the wickedness. That way you overcome it. If you know about it, then if you know better, you'll do better.
That's right.
What God is trying to do.
Yep.
That's all he's trying to do. That way you be aware of all that and you won't partake. You be like, oh, I'm going to let that slide by. Oh, I'm going to get out the dark and get into the light. Oh, I'm going to, you move different, you know, mm-hmm. So you can endure to the end.
That's right. The end times remain a topic of deep intrigue and significance, especially as the global events echo biblical themes. And mm-hmm. for believers, these prophecies are not just about predicting the future. They're a call to live with faith, hope, and a purpose in the present. So as we navigate the uncertainties of the end of 2024, going into the new year of 2025, let us anchor ourselves in the eternal promises of Scripture, trusting in God's plan, and eagerly anticipating the day when all things will be made anew.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I got a scripture about the end times in the book of, where is it? Well, I remember Jesus. It's in Genesis, I believe, or Matthew. Jesus encountered with two demon-possessed men on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the demons recognized Jesus as the Son of God. And they asked him, Are you Christ come to torment us before the end time limit that the Most High gave the wicked to rule? So let me find it in the Bible. It's Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and when he was come to the other side into the country of Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fiercely, so that no man may pass by that way. Verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, you Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before the end time? That's the end time scripture right there. That's the reason why Jesus says the phrase from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 24, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. In the Bible, in this verse, Jesus described future events, end time prophecy, including the destruction of Jerusalem and his return in Revelations. Let me read that 21, Luke 21, 24, in the book of Luke 21, chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. That means destruction until the times of the Gentile be fulfilled. So the Most High is going to allow the Israelites to take back the kingdom through war, the whole planet Earth. So, So in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 18, it says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess it, the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So when you read the 27th verse, that was the 18th verse, it says, and the dominion and the greatness under the whole heaven should be given to the Israelites. So that's going to be back to Israel. So that's just future prophecies, current events. So Israel is what's in the news, and that's what's going on with Israel right now. And Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, dealing with Israel. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion selves shall serve and obey him. But in this time frame right now, this point right here, you know, the Most High has put the earth in the hands of the wicked. And, you know, this is just the ugly reality, but we're going to endure to the end. You know, it's all part of prophecy, and we're just here to help our fellow man, help our neighbors. And that's what we're going to do. Amen to that.
Amen. Now, we're going to have our closing thoughts for tonight. And I just want to say, first of all, 2025 is going to be the year of change. With all that being said, so for 2025, we're calling it the year of change with our sponsor, Brian Bright Consulting. And I'm just going to say that, you know, this is our last episode of season 3. And we would also like to express our gratitude to God, our listeners, our subscribers, special guests this season, the production team, and any other individuals who contributed to the podcast success this season. And we want to just say thank you so much for all that you do and all of your support and engagement. And in season 4, we will have a new podcast show that we're going to be releasing. And also, we're going to have a continuation of the Bright Consulting Show. So we're excited about that. And we're also excited about our new ventures and podcast shows. And we're excited to bring you all new content. So look forward to us seeing us in 2025. Like I said, it's the year of change for us. And we're just excited to bring you guys more exciting content. And I just want to say, like I always say, is continue seeking knowledge and growth in your own personal lives. And make sure you're doing your research. Make sure you're doing your research. Make sure you're doing your research. And I'm just going to let SSG take over with his last words before we do our final.
Oh, hey, hallelujah for this year, you know, and I'm so thankful. And I just want to stay prayed up and stay blessed and highly favored. And you should too. And I just want to say a prayer for my final thoughts for us. You know, dear Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our forefathers, the God of Noah that was on Mount Sinai with our brother, I'm sorry, not Noah, but Moses, who was on Mount Sinai with our brother. I mean, God was on Mount Sinai with our brother Moses, who was a Levite, And God said he is that he is. So we need to stay prayed up and stay true to God and listen to him. He's our Father, and he's not going to tell us anything wrong. And we want to just say an extra prayer for everybody, an extra prayer for healing. You know, dear Lord, please send healing to the parts of our body that needs it, because we know that praise is our medicine. And because we know that praise is our medicine, Lord, we ask that you give us encouragement, give us good health, give us peace, long life. And we do so by the way of the Anointed One, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the Compensator, the Ransom, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. And then I want to go ahead and say we would like to thank our sponsor once again for this season, Brian Bright Consulting. We thank you so much for your continued support. And that brings us to the end of our 20th enlightening episode of the Empowerment Blueprint Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussion tonight on the end times and scripture. Look at prophecy, symbolism, and the current events in 2024. And we look forward to bringing you guys more episodes of the Empowerment Blueprint Podcast in the future. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us and provide your contact information. We thank you so much for everyone that has reached out to us this season, that has joined us, collaborated with us, helped us with sponsorships, and helped us with hostings and special guests. And it's just been an amazing season, man. And we're just proud and happy to have been here to empower you all. And you can contact us on social media, email us on the website. You know how to get us. But don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps us to continue to bring you valuable content. And once again, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate your support, and we can't wait to bring you more amazing episodes. Until next time, keep chasing your dreams and living your best life.
But God, all glory, Lord in Christ. Goodbye. Good night, everybody.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.